boardrooms love buzzwords. AI, climate, resilience.
But what do they actually mean for CFOs and execs trying to survive the next earnings call?
That's where the pre-read comes in.
Real experts and real talk.
Subscribe to the pre-read, presented by Workiva.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, September 30th. I'm Peter Ciampelli for The Wall Street Journal. A coffee shop in Seattle is getting more and more job applications from former tech workers. It's a sign of the times after some of the biggest tech employers there have cut workers and added fewer new positions. We'll get into what that shift means for the city and other tech hubs like Seattle. Then, the data centers that make AI work use a ton of energy and water and produce a lot of greenhouse gases. But research professor Amy Myers Jaffe says it could also save energy and fuel across a bunch of sectors. We'll explain how. But first, Seattle has been one of the premier tech hubs in the U.S. But the sector's been rocked by layoffs in the past few years, led by companies like Amazon and Microsoft. And there's now another change coming to Amazon's workforce. The company is the largest sponsor of H-1B visas in the U.S., with more than 14,000 of its employees approved for the visa in 2025. And earlier this month, Trump announced changes to the visa program, imposing a $100,000 fee for visa holders or their sponsors. Reporter Sebastian Herrera is here to tell us more about what layoffs by those big tech giants and the smaller local firms could mean for Seattle. Sebastian, can you explain what's happening with both Amazon and Microsoft? Why has there been such an increase in layoffs and slowed hiring?
Yeah, this really started to happen around 2022. And what happened is Amazon and Microsoft and a lot of these other tech companies, they overhired during the pandemic. They added thousands and thousands of people during this time of growth. But as the pandemic started to recede, a lot of companies started to cut back because they had overhired during the pandemic. And then after that, the AI boom came and these companies started to cut jobs because of that, because AI, as we know, is replacing some jobs like with software development. And also both Amazon and Microsoft, they are spending billions of dollars on data centers for the AI boom. And this very costly endeavor means that they have to save costs elsewhere. So these are some of the reasons why we've seen cutbacks at Amazon and Microsoft.
So how are the layoffs affecting the broader economy in Seattle?
As tech jobs went away, some of the things that we saw were, for example, popular shopping districts, there's been less spending there. Moving companies have seen less clientele in the past year. Commercial real estate has really dropped in Seattle as offices sit empty. I talked to this one manager at a local coffee shop, and she told me that recently she started to see people with Microsoft and other tech companies on their resumes applying to become baristas. But Seattle is not necessarily a doom loop story. What's happening more there is like it's a place that's really in transition. And as tech jobs go away, it's grappling with what that means and how that can move forward. Seattle has other strong industries like aerospace that are there, like with Boeing. So Seattle has plenty of positivity going on, but there is a lot of anxiety among tech workers there. There is a lot of people that have been laid off there in recent years who have had to figure out, you know, what to do next. We've talked to people that were laid off, for example, at Microsoft and have started their own companies. So people are really figuring it out there.
You mentioned in the story that Microsoft has added around 3,000 new employees since 2022. But in that same time period, they've doubled their market cap. And I was wondering if you could explain what that trend could mean for the broader tech industry. And if you're seeing that same trend at other companies or in other tech hubs like Seattle.
For me, what's interesting is there was once a time when Amazon was thought to become bigger than Walmart in terms of headcount, and that no longer appears to be the case. They've said that in the next few years, their headcount is actually going to decrease. And this is definitely a broader tech issue. Outside of Amazon and Microsoft, other large technology companies have cut back or said that their headcount's not really going to go up. No other city in the U.S. rests on two players like Seattle does with Amazon and Microsoft. Amazon and Microsoft are about 40% of the tech jobs in Seattle, and we really don't see that anywhere else around America, even in San Francisco Bay Area, where tech is obviously king. In Seattle, Amazon and Microsoft are such a big part of that local economy that what's playing out in Seattle is like a study in what happens when your city and economy is built on tech and then what happens as tech jobs go away.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Sebastian Herrera. Coming up, from reducing traffic to creating sustainable building materials, could AI actually end up saving more energy than it consumes? That's after the break.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
AI uses a huge amount of energy, but it also has the potential to save energy and fuel. Amy Myers Jaffe is a research professor in the Global Affairs Program at New York University's School for Professional Studies. The Wall Street Journal's Belle Lynn sat down with her to learn more.
Amy, contrary to this narrative that AI is a huge energy suck, you've found in your research that AI might be able to balance out its own power demands. How is that possible?
Well, you have to balance out two things. Of course, AI is going to have a burdensome electricity use, as we've all been hearing about, but it's also going to save us energy in many different ways, and not just saving us electricity, it's also going to save us fuel, things like gasoline, diesel fuel, marine bunker fuel, airplane jet fuel. And so when you add that all together, you could actually wind up having 2 to 3 times the energy we're using to do the AI be saved by applying the AI in critical sectors like buildings, airplanes, container ships, etc.
So speaking of doing something positive, in the transportation business, you found that AI-driven route planning can cut down on the amount of fuel required for vehicles, airplanes, for ships. Why is AI an effective optimizer for transportation?
Well, if you think about your own life, you might be using Waze or some other kind of program when you're driving to avoid traffic. When you actually do stop and go driving in traffic, that wastes a lot of fuel. But there's also other variables as well. Some of the research shows that when we all drive to a mall or to this grocery store or whatever, that uses a lot of fuel. But when we let an Amazon or UPS or FedEx deliver those goods to us or Instacart, that can be optimized by a program using AI. And the companies are starting to take it to the next level, which is, since I know roughly when you're going to order paper towels, then I can stack those goods based on my projected purchasing patterns in a distribution center to minimize not only the distance that these goods have to go, but also not over manufacture. That also saves a lot of emissions.
And in other areas, you also find that AI can help buildings get smarter and raw materials get greener. What does that mean?
Let's talk about the two different things. I'm living in a smarter building. Many of us have experienced when you're going into large buildings that the lights go off when no one's in a room. So think about that across the entire building. These buildings now have occupancy sensors, and they can calibrate how much air conditioning or lighting or heat system to provide in different rooms at different times, and thereby only heat or air condition to a certain level. And then on the building materials, if you think about AI, and there's been a lot of, I think, press around using AI to speed up the process of figuring out what drug combinations would be the best way to cure diseases or the flu or whatever it is that they're applying across all the different possible combinations of medical input. You can do the same thing with building materials. So if you're trying to come up with a composite that could replace cement or make it greener. Again, we save a lot of emissions.
But what are the downsides of having so much AI in our daily lives?
There's some critical privacy issues. So if we start with all this sensor technology and we have these big technology companies and they know when I'm leaving my house and they know when I'm putting on my TV and they know everything about everything I'm doing, who owns that data? What can happen with that data? That could be a very slippery slope. And then we need to understand the limitations of the AI, like what can it and can it not do accurately? Because if you're going to use AI to design a new oil well completion or to help you with a power station or something like that, I have to be really sure that the calculations that the AI is helping me do are really accurate, because in the energy space, you know, 1 millimeter of a mistake can be the difference between safely operating infrastructure and an explosion.
That was NYU research professor Amy Myers-Jaffe. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Chris Sinsley. I'm Peter Ciampelli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back later this morning with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
As companies seek to close growing gaps in skills and talent, Deloitte US CEO Jason Grzatis believes it's important for organizations to understand their baseline of skills.
There's so many organizations that can't ask and answer the fundamental questions about how much computer science or data management skills do I have, or AI development skills in a given domain.
By performing a skills inventory, leaders can truly understand where their efforts should be focused.
Being blind to those gaps is the real miss.
Visit Deloitte.com to learn how your enterprise can help successfully cultivate talent.